All right, big thanks to Stevie G there. Welcome along to a jam-packed installment of the Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all of the latest sporting action from around Cork as well as further afield. And that was an incredibly special win for the village of Kilbritton last weekend as they won the All-Ireland Junior Club Hurling Final. And the Monday after, I was delighted to get time with Captain Philip Wall while he had time before the lads were dragging him to Monday Club in the village. What a great speaker, and we talked about plenty, including the photo of himself and brother Jamie going viral. He's amazing. All-Ireland speech, he was an all-timer. And of course, remembering Oisín Gallan, who very sadly passed away earlier in the year. We're delighted to be joined here with Philip Wall, an All-Ireland winning captain. Philip, did you ever think you'd get to say or hear a sentence like that?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. It's very surreal. It's kind of unbelievable. I never really thought that I'd be the one to go up and collect the cup on behalf of the boys. As you can see, Dan, my voice is a bit croaky. No, we've enjoyed it the last few days. So yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible. I'm very, very proud of the area where I'm from. I'm very, very proud of our team. So yeah, it's brilliant.
And the group, what do you think is so special about this group in particular, Philip? I mean, it looked at times there like you were done and dusted maybe, but to kind of just be ahead the whole time.
Yeah, we've been off our man in the match there now. Ronan Crowley is leaving because he lives in the village, so he's kindly offered his house to do the interview, and it was his birthday a few weeks ago, so there's Ronan's 21st birthday flag behind me. But yeah, it's Ronan. I taught Ronan, and we're very close now as well. He's almost like a little brother to me. We've very close knit group this year. I think obviously, we spoke before about what happened off the field and just on the field. The way we've kind of won every way with this year is really, really impressive, especially from such a young team. We won playing well. We've won in tough conditions, like semi final. We've won when everything goes to plan against Kilrossany, and then obviously, thankfully, we won at the weekend when very little went to plan. But it's incredible, and there's a real bond in the group. There always has been. To be fair, we've always gotten on very well. But I think this year in particular, there's a very special bond in the group. Yeah.
Yeah, it certainly seems like that. What about your manager, Joe? He's been emotional after the game. What can you say about him?
I can't really speak highly enough about him, to be honest. Everyone was emotional after the game. Jesus, there was grown men bawling tears in the Hogan. It was lovely. I suppose the best thing I can say about Joe is that Joe's a GP in his professional life, and that's the best way I could describe him, in that I couldn't imagine if it was yourself or you had a family member going into his care, anyone better. He's so calm. Even on Saturday, when it would have been very easy, and maybe we even needed to come in and get a kick up the backside and come in and go roaring and start throwing water bottles over the dressing room, that's not him at all. He's very poised. He's very kind of methodical. He's very stick to the process, and he'll always take it down a notch, which is what we need sometimes. And yeah, he's a tremendous guy. His attention to detail, and the way he'll send us all clips the week of a game with regard to what we're going after, whether it be a puck out or a defensive shape or whatever it is, and he'll segregate the clips for the forwards, for the backs and midfielders, for the subs, everyone. He's a phenomenal guy, and he's really, we're so glad Lorna has brought him into the parish. Faggy, our fullback's sister, is married to him, and she brought him in. So we definitely owe Lorna a lot of credit today.
Brilliant stuff. And look, the full time whistle goes, Philip.
Yeah.
What's the emotion like? What are you thinking?
It's honestly dumbfounded. It's just you're it's not, you don't believe it. You're like, oh my god, I just fell to my knees. And then Shawnee Sexton came over to me and he was just like, Philip, he was roaring. And then obviously I saw Jamie, so I ran over then, and yeah, Jesus, it was very emotional. Obviously, it's still emotional. Everything is still incredibly raw. It's honestly, Dan, it's not even for someone like me who usually has a lot to say. I was really had caught for words. It's just, it's really special, like, you know, to be with the person you're closest with in the world, probably, like, to have that moment. It was incredible. It really was.
Yeah, the photo of yourself, and or the few photos of yourself and Jamie went fairly viral now, in fairness, is a lovely moment. Look, without getting into too much, like, what were you talking about in that moment, or was there even anything said?
There was very little said. I was roaring and crying, and I'm sure he was a bit too. He seemed to be a lot more composed. The photo of the two of us, I'd ordered Sunday game, put it up, I look cat, I'm just roaring, and he's fine. I'd say he's more used to it than me. But there wasn't really anything said. I was just kind of like, you're overcome by emotion, and just, it's such a surreal kind of moment that you're just, it's like you're falling almost. You're in your big brother's arms, and it's very, very special.
Your speech in the Hogan stand has to be up there. Look, I'll say it anyway. It was one of the greatest All Ireland winning speeches of all time. How did you make the speech, and how did it come to be? Was it days before, or how long was that in the process?
I don't know about greatest. No, it's been a few years since the Cork man has gotten up, unfortunately. But I wrote my first one for the county, and Joe actually spoke to me about it maybe 2 weeks before, and he was like, I said to my twin sister, I was like, I'll be grand. Like, I can speak away, I'll be grand. Kate was like, you need to write something and put a bit of thought into it. And Joe said the same to me. So I did that the week before the county, and then I've kind of just stuck with that for the thing. I just wrote it a week. I actually didn't finish writing it until the day before, which is something I'd never usually do, just because I lost my A4 pad. I didn't have it, so I had to finish the last paragraph. I left it behind me. We did the media day in Dublin Wednesday. I left it behind me, so I was supposed to finish it. But yeah, look, it's it's something obviously I put a lot of thought into writing. But like, I mean, a lot of people are I'd rather be known for my hurling than my speaking, to be honest. I think if I was a bit better at hurling, we mightn't have had the stress we had at the end of the game rather than the speaking. But it's just something that, like, you take it, you know, our previous captain, Nick O'Donovan, who was really honestly one of the best leaders I've ever, like, one of the best captains. I remember Brian O'Mara and UL and him are the two that I've captains that I've seen that are just like, you try and take a lot from them because they're just like, you know, when you have control of a group, it's really, really impressive. I would say Brian and Nick. And Nick told me at the start of the year, I took over from Nick as captain, and he was like, no matter what you say, as long as it's genuine, it's okay, no matter what it is. If it's coming from the heart and it's genuine, then it doesn't matter. So I suppose that was the main thing for speech writing. And yeah, I mean, I'm just really thankful I got to say it. There was a few things I wanted to really mention, like our boy Adam, who got pneumonia during the week, who was in hospital in the Bonds. He actually just came into the pub there about a half an hour ago, but he's on the water, so he has to come back home. I wanted to mention him, and of course I wanted to mention the O'Sheen and his family, and obviously the Enrights as well, but in particular O'Sheen. And I only saw back yesterday the clip of Catherine and Gustav and Fionnuala and Shane, his family, in the Hogan stand. It was really, really special.
What did it mean to you to watch that video back and see them there? Sure, I was tearing up watching it, and don't mind him in the stand either. Like, I mean, what was it like for you then, knowing that, just that special moment?
Yeah, I didn't know at the time. I met Catherine and Christoph at the kind of banquet after, obviously. But I didn't know at the time. I didn't see it on the big screen or anything. I wasn't really paying attention. But I saw it the following day, and like, Asher, like, you're tearing up when you see it. Like, it's such an emotionally driven kind of moment. So it's really hard. It's so hard. Like, we went down to the grave last night with the cup, and we met Catherine and Christoph. And, you know, I suppose Catherine said that, like, the biggest worry ever, and I'm sure it's the worry for everyone, is that, like, you know, people kind of die twice, in that they die once, and then when everyone forgets them, it's like they're gone again, you know. And she's like, their biggest fear was that people would forget O'Sheen, but I mean, that's never going to be the case. And the best thing about us success and the fact that we got up to Croke Park and everything is that O'Sheen is here forever. Like, he's immortalized with it, that, like, that will always be the story for the next however long after all of us are gone. O'Sheen's story will be there. So it's incredibly moving, and yeah, it's really, really special. Yeah, so Oisin was a really, look, he was a tremendous kid. He was French, which he would make sure to say, because I remember asking him, like, if you go and all Ireland, France are playing, like, who'd you go for? He's like, are you stupid? France, obviously. He was like, Ireland are terrible. And we were like, yeah. So I remember he was only like what age when he been in 2016 when Griezmann got the two goals and he came in like to school with a French jersey or something. He was roaring. Yeah, and do you know, he was a very integral part of our group. Like, we had a football league game on the Friday or the Saturday. We played a football league game. Oisin was the forward. I remember I roared at him for taking a 2-point. It was the 2-pointer was just in. I roared at him for taking a 2-pointer, and he should have passed it or something. And we had a bit of crack whenever he was doing his leaving cert. And then it was Paddy's weekend, and unfortunately he got SADS, sudden adult death syndrome, and passed away the Sunday, I think it was the Sunday, I'm trying to remember now. It was around, it was like 2 days later or whatever. But yeah, look, it hit all of us like a train, to be honest. Like, I remember that night, the night of, we obviously were supposed to train, we didn't, obviously. So we had I had a few lads up at my house, Ronan was up, I'd never seen Ronan as quiet. About seven or eight lads came up to my house. We just had a speech, we spoke, kind of had like, what can you say? And then we had a meeting in the hall of about 35 of us, 40 of us, and we were in a circle and no one said a word. And then obviously we had the leading up. It was awful. Like, look, it was awful, and we still really miss him, and that was the story. But like, Oisin's story has more chapters now because of this year, and it's lived on. And Oisin's story will never be finished. It's always with us. So yeah,
absolutely. And what will the celebrations look like, not just in Oisin's memory, but for the parish as a whole, and what Eve done as hurlers as well?
It's unbelievable. Like, we had fireworks last night. I've never seen so much fireworks in Kilbritton. It was like Disneyland Paris or something. It was funny, we actually, with the fireworks, when someone said there was fireworks, we thought it was going to be like, do you know those screamers you'll see teenagers throw on Halloween night? Like, I thought it was going to be something like that, but it was actually really good. Yeah, it was class. It was unreal. Like, even we came back, we usually have done the homecomings, well, usually, like, we've only had like four of them in 100 years. So, but the four we've had are outside on the trailer. But obviously the weather wasn't great last night, so we went into the hall. And I mean, the last time I was on that stage in the hall, I was playing the Dodger in a sixth class school play in Oliver Twist. So I haven't been up on that stage in a while. So it was unbelievable. Like, you don't really get those moments too often, especially being from somewhere where we're from, where success is a rare enough commodity. But yeah, it's been special. And the boys are across the road now. I'm sure I'll join them after. It's only getting going now as well.
Well, look, that's it from me. You better go join them anyway. Thanks so much, lads. Really appreciate it. Yeah, brilliant stuff there, rather, from Philip Wall. And again, following on from that emotional week, the Big Red Bench's Joe McCarthy caught up with manager Joe Ryan.
On the Big Red Bench, we are delighted to be joined by the manager of the newly crowned All-Ireland Junior Hurling Champions, as well as Munster and Cork County Champions, Kilbritton, and that's Joe Ryan. Joe, you've been very good to us this year on the Big Red Bench, and it is lovely to have you back on as an All-Ireland winning manager. How does that sound, first of all, when that's said to you?
Yeah, it's amazing, really. It's surreal. It is kind of sinking in slowly in the quieter moments in the last few days when things are starting to settle. It's amazing. Yeah.
I appreciate you and the players have been all over the media, social media. You've done 100 million interviews. I'm going to try and endeavour not to ask you the same types of questions. So here's an easy one to start off with. The Cork's Red FM's County Hurling Leagues begin on Saturday, March the 7th, with Kilbritton hosting Middleton in Division 5 fixture. I know maybe you don't want to hear that, or you do hear that, but it's coming and it's on the horizon. So I want to ask you how preparations are going, because I know some of the players are still celebrating, but the thinking and planning, because you're champions now, it's in the history books, you've celebrated it. Kilbritton have to move on.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be forced to move on. You know, our eyes will be opened pretty quickly. I think there was a joke in training the last few weeks that for some of the older lads that may or may not be considering stepping away, that they've already started 2026 pre-season, so they may as well stay on. And look, we Middleton, we look, it's a challenge, all right. Yeah, I might be asking a few I might be asking a few people for their advice on how to approach it, but yeah, it does, it naturally, I have started thinking about it, to be honest with you, because you have to be organised and plan these things out, but there'll be a few extra things in the way, like the dinner dance is being organised at the moment as well, so we'll enjoy it while we can.
Yes, lots of things to look forward to between here and then, I suppose. I said it in jest, but even the manager in you is already having to think about these things, because like, there is a long year ahead of you. When I say the All-Ireland final to you and everything that you've been through, the emotional roller coaster, both on the sideline and off the pitch, and the way the community came together, what's the kind of first memory that comes to your head now when I say you're an All-Ireland champion and that victory over Eastkey?
Probably the final whistle. Because the play was down on our side, it was right in front of the Eastkey dugout there, and you're just like looking back at it on the video. There's an Eastkey man free in the middle of the pitch, and I remember shouting my head off. Like screaming, and of course it was useless because you can't hear anything down on the sideline, and just seeing Josh get the ball then and the ref blowing the whistle, that like I was kind of telling myself continuously in the build up to it that to like just to enjoy it as it goes, and we did it in different stages, so the itinerary was from Kilbritton to Croke Park, and then there was a second itinerary for Croke Park itself, and we were kind of ticking the boxes as we were going through it, so I was actually, I felt fairly relaxed. I think the players are fairly relaxed, but we were trying to enjoy it as much as we can up until throw-in, and then obviously chaos ensued, and it was a different feelings then.
Yeah, I know in other interviews you've said as well, in Southern Star as well today, so like that this wasn't the best, I label it as not one of the best performances of the championship, but look, you've talked about that. For me, like Ronan Crowley, 21-year-old, man of the match, and then Tomás Harrington coming off the bench and the impact he had. Does that best encapsulate what Kilbritton are all about, between young and not so young, that people at the right points of this season, this hugely long season, 12, 13 months, have stood up when you needed them?
Yeah, I think it's probably a really good example of the bond that's within the group, like Ronan being 21 and then Tom on the other end of the spectrum. And how, you know, I saw in an article there today that Ronan had commented that Tom, before every game, comes up to him and tells him that this is going to be his day. And, you know, the joke is that half the time Ronan felt that it wasn't, but Tom still had that trust in him. And I think the trust was a big thing that was earned this year by the group and by players and even by management as well, that when you get winning, it's kind of something that just builds. And we knew, like, we had started the same team for the majority of championships, so there was that, people were settled, that they were very, very comfortable with each other. And then we had our like Tom, Deck Harrington, Conor Stanowski, Nick O'Donovan, Owen Byrne, Charlie Kenny, they, like, we used 21 players throughout championship, and even beyond that, everyone had a role to play. The bond that's there is like, if you could bottle it, it's magic, you know. Look, it's very little to do on the management side of things. I was genuine in what I said, that I was trying to stay out of their way for the last 2 weeks. I was afraid that something I'd say would plant a seed in someone's head or jinx it, you know. So, and I'm not superstitious at all, but they were just in such good form, and it took on a life of its own.
It certainly did, and the Kilbritton community helped with that taking on a life of its own. I've seen clubs go on runs and winning county championships, win Munster, but getting to an All-Ireland final, what I wanted to ask you now that the dust has settled, the celebration in Dublin on the night of becoming All-Ireland champions was very special, but the homecoming to Kilbritton, such a small, united community, Joe, the fireworks, just everybody and everybody, people home from all over the world, like two cousins, Betty and Pauline from America, they came home for it. Like, I mean, just, it's hard to quantify that, but it is important that you get to experience it and remember it, because these are the days you remember for the rest of your lives.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, yeah. And we wanted, I suppose, as a group, to embrace everything beforehand, because the memories that we'd create up until the throw-in, like, that, they weren't going to change. You know, they were set, really. No, okay, they're coloured by the result, obviously, but we wanted them to them to enjoy and not hide away from it. Now, I don't know if that was the right or wrong thing to do, but the Saturday night was brilliant because it we got a bit of time to ourselves after the game. We stuck together as a team. We had a meal, and then we got the bus back out to the hotel, and we were met there. And it was like what you see on telly, you know. It was like what you see on the Sunday game, you know, in the banquets and stuff like that. And it was really nice as well. Dennis Hurley was emceeing it, and look, Dennis is my brother-in-law. His brother James is on the was full back in the team, so it was kept very local. And and then the Sunday we got back, and there was a decision made. Normally, I think the tradition in Cribbleton is they go on the truck, and there was a decision made because of the weather that we go to the hall, and it was class. Like, the walk into the hall was like, I'm kind of getting emotional now thinking of it, because the hall was packed, and there was even people outside like waiting basically in the rain, and waiting for us to come out again. And the really nice thing was after that, the we all got to go then up to the grave, and it just flowed. Like, we went up to the grave and met with Catherine and Christoph, and then all went back down to the village again. So I think those moments, they're probably they're the real memories, really. Like, the game goes by in a flash, and you think in real time. Like, as I said, I think I very unfairly labelled it one of our worst performances, but having watched it back, I think, you know, we kept playing. It was a really high intensity, high quality game. Some things we did really poorly and some things we did really well, but it just passes in a flash. So it's the memories afterwards, really, and before, and the build up that will remain.
And I think that's the perfect way to end this interview, because it has all been about memories. Yeah, I'd say it. Look, Joe, you've been fantastic to us here on the Big Red Bench, speaking to us. Anytime we've looked for information from the club, you were very, very accommodating. Your captain, Philip Ball, as well, fantastic all the way through. And for all the other radio stations and TV stations and things you've had to do over the last couple of days, and how intense it's been. But from everybody here on the Big Red Bench, not just myself, but all the other presenters and the producers behind the scenes, a sincere thanks. And thanks for the memories, because what a run, and all those memories that you've generated, whatever about the trophies, County, Munster, and all Ireland was to come. I think what you did for the Kilbritton community, I think that trumps all those three trophies personally. And to have been at the centre of it and been one of the people responsible for it, I know you won't want to take all the praise. We're very, very happy that we were just a small little bit of that journey and got to talk to you about it and got to experience it as well. And we're going to talk to some of the players over the coming weeks. We're not going to let it go before the county league start up again, as I brought up earlier. But from everybody on the bench, Doreen, thanks very, very much. And we look forward to talking to you again later on in the year.
Thanks, Mr. Jerry. I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah, brilliant stuff there from Jur and Joe Ryan, of course, manager of Kilbritton. What a buzz they must have in the village at the moment. From hurling's football now, the soccer kind, let's hear from the new Cork City men's manager, Barry Robson, who spoke to Rory O'Hagan ahead of the SSC Airtricity First Division season.
Barry, welcome. I'd imagine it's been a fairly whirlwind few days for you, I'd imagine.
Yeah, but a good few days. It's good to get in, meet the players, meet staff, see the surroundings, what we're involved in. So, yeah, it's been good.
What was your knowledge of the club before, I suppose, you heard about the interest?
Yeah, listen, we're coming to Scotland and I've been in England. You've still heard of Cork City. It's a big football club, it's a big city. It's probably similar city size to Aberdeen, where I come from. So, and it's just a one club city, so you always know that it's a big club, and it's got a potential to go and be a big club. And that was the attraction for me.
You obviously have played in Turner's Cross before. I think it was 2008. What was your memories of that
too? As I said, I was coming back from injury. I flew over to play in the game. I just remember the atmosphere. It was good, it was competitive. I like that. And yeah, the real good buzz and feel to the game, and I always remembered that, and I hope that we can go and bring that again.
Imagine all those games you played in Ireland for Celtic were always very special, given the connection between, I suppose, Celtic and Ireland.
Yeah, the massive connection. I think that maybe was the only one I did play. I actually came and stayed at Fort Island a couple of times on pre-season trips with teams. I went over in Ireland a lot. I was over here with the Scottish national team quite a bit, trained at Portmarnock as well, so I've been over quite a bit. I love the player. Listen, as I said, one of my best friends is Well, of Flood, I got a lot of Irish good friends, and they're very similar to us Scots.
Yeah, it's very similar, right? Yeah, that's one way of putting it.
Similar colours, colour skins as well.
You certainly bought the Witterwich anyway, Barry.
Yeah,
so
it did, yeah.
Tell us, how did the move come about? Was it just Simon Grayson gave you a ring and said, look, there's this opportunity here at Cork City?
Yeah, Will O'Flood does a lot of work, so he'd been speaking to some people. So then, yeah, I ended up getting a call, and I spoke to Dermot, and then I spoke to Simon, and they offered me a position, and I'm really, really enjoying being here, and I'm looking forward to the start of the season.
Big decision to make, though, kind of to uproot yourself from Aberdeen and move back over to Cork. And
yeah, but they say us football managers are mad, don't they?
Well, yeah.
We are mad, but no, listen, an opportunity for a brilliant club, big club, beautiful city. Yeah, it was a no-brainer for me.
Obviously, the club are in the first division, it's not where they want to be. Obviously, getting promoted the first time of asking is the priority, I suppose.
Yeah, of course it is, and that brings pressure, but as I said, nothing ever in 30 years in the game has anything ever come easy. Mm-hmm. It never comes easy. It's going to take a lot of hard work. It's going to take a lot of people being at their best every single day, and that's training, games, bringing the best version of yourself every single day. And you do all these things if we want to try and get to where we want to get to.
I know I've only been here a couple of days, but have you had a chance to talk to much of the lads and kind of get to know them?
I've been just on the training pitch, and obviously there's been loads of other stuff going on. So yeah, over the next week or so, I'll have them all in and I'll get a chat with all of them. And I've had a couple of general meetings, and my door's always open for the players all the time. Just come if there's anything you need, I can help you with. And they seem a really good bunch.
What can Cork City fans expect, I suppose, stylistically from a Barry Robson team?
Well, first and foremost, you need to be a hard-working team. Nothing comes easy in football. We want to be fast, we want to be aggressive, we want to press, we want to make chances, we want to score goals if we can. And I suppose a lot of people never really talk about it, but you cannot be a good attacking team to you're a good defensive team. We need to be structurally good. We need to be able to try and keep clean sheets.
100%, yeah. There's a lot of speculation with Sean Maguire, as you mentioned in the press conference, but he's contracted the club and he's happy to stay.
Yeah, listen, I'm getting lots of questions. I'm just going to keep saying it. I think he's a brilliant player, and I think he's a brilliant boy, and he's under contract at the club, and I can't wait to get working with him.
He's also a player that a lot of younger players can learn a lot from.
Yeah, good attitude, can play a couple of positions, can drop in that number 10 role, he can play as a striker. He's got that guile. But yeah, he's a really talented boy, a really talented player, as I said, a good person as well, and that's the most important thing.
He certainly is. It's what, 4 weeks now to the first game of the season. It's going to be a whirlwind few weeks, I suppose, to get everything organised and get set up the way you want, I guess.
Yeah, it's going to take time, and it's not going to be perfect. There's a lot of things I'm trying to change behind the scenes as well to try and make us better, so it'll take a wee bit of time for us to get going.
I suppose then, like, just looking at the home fans, I suppose, what's the message to the Cork City fans for the season ahead?
Just to get behind the team. I mean, that's the most important thing. They're always the most important part of a football club. We're just people like myself, and that we're in here just to try and do our best and please them, make them happy, and give them hopefully give them some good goals and some clean sheets, and just have a real bond with the players. That's the most important thing, you know. The players will be out there working hard for them every single time, so we need them to back them and get that bond with them, and I'm sure they will. They'll be terrific as they have been over the years.
Amazing. Thanks, Barry. Best of luck for the season.
Thank you. Cheers.
And that was new Cork City gaffer Barry Robson speaking to Roy O'Hagan there. And it's off to a winning start for the manager with a win against Waterford in a pre-season match up, as well as a 1-0 win rather over Middleton in the Munster Senior Cup. And the ref's whistle has gone for half-time here on the Big Red Bench. Plenty to come in the second half as Ger McCarthy spoke to Rebel Oak winners last night. But also we hear from Cork Camogie legend Laura Tracy after she called time on her 15-year inter-club.
Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here until I hand you over to Marty Guilfoyle at 7.
And now Cork Camogie senior Laura Tracy has called time on her 15-year inter-county career. The six-time All-Ireland winner and recipient of 4 All-Stars was one of Camogie's most consistent senior inter-county performers and one of the greatest to pull on the red jersey of Cork.
One of Cork and Kayla Camogie's finest spoke to the Big Red Bench's Joe McCarthy about calling time on an intercounty career.
A Cork Camogie senior intercounty player for over 15 years, Laura Tracy has decided to call time on her intercounty career and retire. She joins us now on the line here on the Big Red Bench to talk about her decision and what a fantastic career she has had. Laura, you're very welcome back to the bench. How are you?
I'm good, dear. Thanks. A roller coaster of a week, one can call it, but happy to be chatting to you today.
Yes, it's about last week when the GPA through their website announced that you were ending your career as an intercounty camogie player after 15 years. Why have you made the decision, Laura, and why now?
Yeah, I'd nearly be questioning myself why after receiving half of the messages that have come through my phone and stuff. You know, I've made obviously really close friends out of it, and it was a really tricky decision for me, but I suppose, Ger, I've just given half of my lifetime, I suppose, to the Cork Senior Camogie panel, and I've had amazing memories, but I feel like it's just the right time for me to kind of start a new chapter. Over the last year or so, I've been kind of struggling with a few injuries that have kind of held me back a little bit, and you know, I would hate for an injury or something to define my career, so there was a bit of thought around them as well, but it just felt like the right moment and time for a new chapter.
Now that you've made the decision and you've seen the outpouring of just, I suppose, affection and respect from both inside and outside Cork, Laura, to announcing this decision, you can see how much of a standing you have in the game at intercounty and club level. But now that you've made the mistake, it's never an easy decision to make, 15 years on the road as well, underage and senior, but now that you're there and you're at that point, are you comfortable with it and are you ready for what's to come?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's probably been a thought maybe over the past like few years, maybe since the 23 All-Ireland, like, you know, I guess I have been so lucky to be involved in such successful teams throughout my 14 years of being involved with the Cork Senior Panel, and, you know, made friends for life, and we've had major ups and downs, and, you know, probably fulfilled a childhood dream so early in my career. Even getting to play in Croke Park was something that I would have dreamt about as a child, and yeah, it just... it's going to be a big transition, I guess. It's going to take a while to get used to, for sure. But I just feel like it's the right time just to kind of start that transition into a new chapter.
And that's fair enough. 6 All-Irelands, 4 All-Stars, Munster League titles, a fantastic run in that red jersey, fantastic memories. I'm not going to ask you what the highlight was because there's been so many and so many ups and downs as well, like any intercounty career, Laura. But you've mentioned it there, the friends that you've made and the bonds that you've forged. I think that was pretty obvious on the social media accounts. Every time Cork won a Camogie All-Ireland, I followed you for about, let's say, the 3 or 4 days after All-Irelands and leave it at that, that the celebrations went on. But you don't fake those friendships. You don't fake that bond. And that bond, I think, as well, at times got that Cork team through some difficult periods out on the pitch. And it's lovely to be able to look back on that now that you'll have time to look back on it.
Yeah, 100%. And, like, I guess when I first started, when I was first called up into the setup, like, I was looking at girls that I had watched play in Croke Park, and the fact that I even got to train with them and play next to them, like the likes of like Aoife Murray and Gemma O'Connor, Breege Corkery, like Rena Buckley, Orla Cotter, you know, like huge legends of Cork Camogie. And even to create those bonds, I suppose, with those girls, you know, they held really high standards. And like when I came into the setup, I knew quite quickly like where I needed to be at to even get a place on a panel for match day and stuff, you know. So when you kind of come into the setup and you're exposed to that, you nearly want it even more. But there's a lot of respect, I suppose, between those players, and they taught me an awful lot at a very young age. And then, you know, I suppose when they kind of hung up their boots and stepped aside, it was maybe the likes of myself and Maeve Callan and Aisling Thompson and stuff to kind of continue that continue with those standards that they created and maybe create our own. And I think when you're striving for something and everyone's on the same page, which everybody that I have been involved in all panels throughout my career, I suppose, in a Cork jersey, we're all striving for the same thing. And, you know, we work hard and people have their ups and downs, and it's those messages that come through after a poor game, or that phone call that you get from management to say how well you've done, or we want you to do this. You know, those bonds that are created in those moments are ones that are really hard to describe, but like the friendships that have come out of Cork Mogi for me, and the opportunities, I guess, as well, that Cork Mogi has given me, stuff through the GPA and just inspiring, I guess, younger girls. Thinking back now, even over the past week, it's just been an honour, really.
Very well said. You mentioned all the players there, and it would be unfair to ask you, you know, who the best ones you've played, because you've listed off some absolute stars of Cork Camogie, but the managers as well, Laura. You started under Paddy Murray, you played under Matthew Toomey, and you finished up now with Germani. You've been lucky, I would say to you, in that you've gotten managers of the calibre of those men that I've described there, and backroom team members and management members as well in your intercounty career. How hard was it to tell Ger that you were stepping away, and just how important have those managers been to you?
Oh yeah, and like I can be forever grateful, I suppose, first of all to Paddy Murray for inviting me into the training panel at such a young age. You know, I was 16 that year when I got the shout, and I was playing Cork Minor at the time, and only for that experience, I guess, that I was exposed to at such a young age, I think it really I suppose, shaped me into the player that I am now. You know, to be exposed to Croke Park at such a young age and to be in and training with those players that I mentioned earlier, you know, it was either sink or swim, and I chose to swim, you know. So I can only be forever grateful for Paddy putting his trust in me at such a young age. And then he stayed around for 10 years and gave so much to Cork Camogie through those 10 years. And, you know, a special mention also has to go to the likes of Kevin Murray, who just, I think, like, raised the standard of coaching within Cork Camogie set up to another level. And I think, like, he was probably a massive reason as to why we won All-Irelands so early on as well in my career. And then Matthew Toomey, I suppose, he was around in those years as well, and, you know, worked with Paddy Murray quite closely, and he was there in my first year in 2014 as a selector, and, you know, I had a great relationship with Matthew, I suppose. He always had, like, sideline conversations as to, you know, how trustworthy, I suppose, the management, how much trust, I guess, the management had in me at such a young age, and that just, again, boosted me with heaps of confidence, you know, when I was 18, 19, and allowed me again to have that platform to continue to grow as a player. And he then stepped into that manager role and did a fantastic job in that role. You know, he got highly qualified people involved around him, with a special mention to Liam Cronin. And then after that, I suppose the transition of managers led to Ger Manley getting the post, which again was a really big positive step for Cork Camogie, because he had been involved with Matthew, you know, so there's kind of been that continuity, I suppose, for my career in a Cork jersey. You know, between Paddy, Matthew and Ger, they were there, and then they stepped into the roles, and, you know, they knew what it took, and they knew the standards that the players had and the standards that they wanted to strive for as well. So, yeah, like, I have been so lucky to have incredible coaches and managers around me as well as players.
You certainly have, and I think those managers, all the players that you've lined out with, all the supporters that you brought so much joy to, your club Killa as well, how important they've been to you. It's very, very hard to sum up a career of 15 years and all the accolades and all the All-Stars and the All-Irelands, Laura Tracy. I can safely tell you from a Big Red Bench point of view, you will be sorely missed. We got the chance to interview on the Croke Park pitch after winning All-Irelands, after losing All-Irelands, and every time you fronted up and spoke to us, and we really, really appreciate it. I wish you well in your retirement. I hope this isn't the last time we get to speak to each other. I have a funny feeling it won't be. It's from everybody here on Corkshire FM and not just Big Red Bench. Thanks for the memories and thanks very, very much for taking the time to speak to us.
Oh, Jerry, thanks a million. And like so many memories and, you know, I appreciate all what I suppose Cork Red FM do as well for the promotion of Camogie and the LJFA in Cork. So, no, thank you as well, Jerry.
Brilliant stuff there. The latest from the Champions Cup, Munster 17, Cash 17 in Thomond. Hopefully Munster can push on and go to win that one. That's with 54 minutes on the clock. Sticking with the GA, and this year's Rebel Oak Awards took place in the Clayton Silver Springs last night, and for another fantastic night, according to Jur here anyway. And the Big Red Bench's Jur, of course, spoke to Zucar All-Ireland LGFA All-Ireland winning Cork manager Kieran O'Shea, as well as head coach Martin Crummy.
Now here at the Rebel Oak Awards site, the Cork Minor Ladies football team are being honoured having won the Zucar All-Ireland Minor A Championship Final earlier in the year, defeating Dublin at St Brendan's Park in Birr in County Offaly. Delighted to be joined by the manager Kieran O'Shea and the head coach Martin Crummy. Kieran, if we can turn to you first of all, black tie event, very different from what you're usually in, your selectors are used to out in the training pitch, but lovely to be acknowledged for what was a fantastic achievement for you and for that squad.
Yeah, look, it's I suppose it's a great evening for everybody and for all the girls and their families, you know, and the recognition of, I suppose, not just that final, but I suppose starting from way back in January, all the hard training, all the hard nights and all the work that was put in by them and a lot of sacrifices. So it's a great night and great recognition for the girls, you know, it's well deserved.
And good to see so many here as well, like you've pretty much the entire panel.
Yeah, we're delighted. It's really well represented, and in fairness, I think there's only one or two that they were kind of sick or something, but you know, most of the girls are here and it's great to see it, you know.
Martin, we were speaking earlier on to some of the other managers from the other teams that are winning awards tonight. A lot of the schools have different players from so many different clubs, but from your point of view, this year, this past year, you had a huge spread in that particular squad, but you handled it very, very well.
Yeah, look, it's great to have so many clubs involved. I suppose that with an inter-county setup, that's what you want, a good spread across the county and everybody chipping in, which means there's great support then going to all the matches because there's such a spread. But look, in terms of the coaching the girls, the standards was superb, and as a head coach of a team, like all you, the girls were like sponges, they just soaked everything up. So like we had our plans in place, there was never any panic throughout the year, and the girls stuck to a system that they were fairly in tune with, and look, that got us over the line at the end, I think.
You came through some really tough tests as well before you won that All-Ireland final. Is there any particular game that sticks out, but or even the final itself, because you turned it on that day?
Yeah, we were actually just talking about it there the other day, because we had a meeting with the sports psychologist for this year, and it kind of raised the Munster final, actually. It was the first time we'd gone in at half-time, and we were level with the team, so we'd usually been ahead, so it's kind of was striking in terms of the mentality of the girls. It was a very calm dressing room, I remember to this day now. And we went in, sat down, there was no shouting or banging the tables, and we just picked up a few pointers in terms of what we should have been working on that we possibly weren't, and we went back to the drawing board and stuck to the system, and they went back out, and look, it's probably the first time Kerry have never scored in a 30 minute period. I mean, we went out and beat them by 20 plus points, so it was an excellent performance. That, and then the Cavan match was the big one. Now, Kieran, probably more involved than I was over the years. That was my first year involved with the ladies last year, and I think that was the big scalp, really. But maybe Kieran can add to that because he had previous history with Cavan.
Yeah, well, I've covered a fair few of those games down through the years as well. They're always a fantastic team. They're always very, very difficult to break down, hugely talented. But it must have been really, not a relief, but a delight to see that all the hard work, not just this year or in 2025, but over those previous years at inter-county level, worked out for you against such a good team.
Yeah, look, I mean, 2 years previous, you know, we were the first All-Ireland final there at Loughley. We actually, I think we were 2 points up coming into the home straight, and Cavan came back and they got a goal. Next thing, we found ourselves behind, a point behind, and, you know, the fighting spirit was always there, you know, and we got back level that day, went back to a replay, and, you know, I think it was 7 minutes into extra time, and we were still level, and, you know, Cavan went on then to win by 2 points, so, you know, there was never much between us, so it was great this year now that the girls kind of pushed on, and, you know, that was a massive game for us, both that and the Munster final, and you know, the Ireland final. But I did really feel that we were getting stronger and better as the season went on, you know. And obviously, it was great to see everything come together then on the day, you know. You know, it was a really hot day up there. And in fairness, the girls, they put in 100% and they ran themselves into the ground that night.
This year, you're well in the throes for yourself, Martin, and your management team. Just briefly, how are preparations going? Because it won't be long coming around again.
Yeah, look, I suppose, to be honest, our biggest, I suppose, deterrent at the moment is the weather. So, like, we had a game booked in last weekend and it didn't go ahead. I got a call myself at 5 o'clock in the morning. The team, Mayo, couldn't travel. And, you know, so, again, we have a game tomorrow now again, so we're hoping that'll go ahead because the weather is very unpredictable and it's very hard to get pitches this time of the year as well. So, I suppose, look, we're back in the gym. We're doing our S&C work and, you know, we're doing some our Zoom calls with our sports psychologists and stuff like that. So, and training has been going well. We did take a break over Christmas because we felt that, you know, the girls were playing minor championship right till the end of November, you know. So, like, they needed a break. We all needed a break. And it was good to reset and get back. I suppose the big difference this year really is the Munster Championship was starting a lot earlier.
Yeah.
So, I suppose, you know, that brings its own problems as well. Like, so, you know, we're starting back probably on the same time as last year, but the championship is a lot earlier. And then we have a big 5-week break in the middle after our first three championship games. So again, we'd have to navigate that. You know, it's something different to last year.
And just finally, Martin, looking forward to it again. Comes around, it's nearly full time now at this stage, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it's refreshing now this year. It's a new challenge. There's 80% of the girls are gone. It's a new team, and we enjoy challenges. And a lot of this team, no disrespect to them, but they haven't won anything coming through. So
they're hungry.
Yeah, they're hungry for it. You know, and we're hungry as well, determined to remain kind of Munster and All Ireland champions. So it gives us a bit of drive as well. But we're looking forward to this. There are a great bunch of girls coming through again, very dedicated as usual at this standard, and yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Excellent stuff. Well done, dear Wardlets. Well done.
Jura also spoke to Rachel Murphy and Matthew O'Sullivan.
Now, the February winners of the Revlogue Awards were the Cork Minor Camogie team on winning a fantastic performance to beat Tip to win the Munster final 2-12 to 1-10, and that took place at Castle Road in that particular final. I'm joined now by the captain of the Cork Minor Camogie team, Rachel Murphy from Ballinora, and our manager, Massey O'Sullivan. Massey, fantastic night. Everybody here in the black tie, like yourself and myself, and everybody looking lovely. But a real nice recognition for this group.
Oh, very, very good recognition for this fantastic group of girls. I suppose, look, it's always great to get any recognition, and they really deserved it. They worked hard for it, and I think they really deserved the win and also recognition.
Rachel, winning a Munster title is not an easy thing to do, especially at the grade that you play at, but it must have been a fantastic feeling.
Oh no, definitely, especially because, like, being under 16 like 2 years before and being minor the year before and not winning Munster, winning it like last year definitely meant a lot more than like it meant to most teams, I think.
Yeah.
I think with playing for Cork, some people think it's a given, but definitely from being under 16 the year before in minor, like, you kind of see it's not, and the hard work really did pay off with winning it that day.
And you and this particular group of players that you're captain of, you've come through inter-county at under 14, 16 up to that grade. Is a nice bond between that group?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, I've definitely grown up with some of the girls from the age of like 13 to now, and then I go to school with a load of them, and it was great to win it with them.
It's a long year as well, because you've got a trial to get on the panel to begin with, and then in the winter months, but it is a very rewarding one.
Oh no, definitely. Like, from back in nearly the end of October of like 2024, like, there was an extended panel, and then that got cut down, and then it was a long process, all S&C and all this stuff, but like, definitely, like, a lot of hard work paid off of getting to the Munster.
Just Massey, just finally, from your point of view, you're back in the throes of it right now again. It's not just finishing, you're going again, and hoping to go all the way this year.
Look, we have a good group of girls again this year, and we'll be optimistic. They're working hard, and I suppose, look, we're always probably the top four in the country, so we'll be hoping we'll be go on better than we did last year.
Congratulations on your award, well done.
Before we get back to the awards, Munster have gotten over for a try. Cork's Edwin Odogbo has gotten over, so it's now 22 points to 17 for Munster against Cast in that European Champions Cup game. Now back to the business at hand. I'm sure we're speaking to Micheál O'Sullivan and Dylan Harrington of Clonakilty Community School.
Now, I'm here with Clonakilty Community College's Micheál O'Sullivan manager and player Dylan Harrington, and they're here tonight at the Rebel Og Awards because they've received a Rebel Og Award for the winning the Simcox Cup, the Cork College's senior football, earlier in the year at Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Holly, first of all, congratulations on a fantastic success and getting a Rebel Og Award tonight. It's important and a nice accolade for you and the club.
Yeah, it's nice to get to the end of the season, and when you have a bit of success that is recognised, then, you know, this is always a great occasion for Cork GAA and Cork GAA in general, Camogie, hurling, football, the whole lot. And, you know, it's great for us to be here. We haven't been here before, and it's nice that school football and is recognised at this level, and it's great for the promotion of the game.
It didn't work out for you in the current year, unfortunately, but the fact that this group of players and the young group of players that are coming through winning a Simcox Cup for the first time sets a standard for the ones that will follow.
Yeah, sure, look, they've left their mark on the history of the school with regard to GAA, and the younger lads down the line, you know, they're looking at the older lads up along, you know, and watching them winning, which will hopefully lead to better things in the future. And look, there is talent still coming, and we'd be having a serious cut out to Simcox again this year, and hopefully the other competition as well.
Dylan, you were part of a team knowing a lot of players from different clubs. I mean, it was a fantastic achievement, but considering there's so many lads from different clubs, you bonded together very, very well, and it must have been fantastic to win a tournament and win a trophy at Páirc Uí Chaoimh.
Yeah. Well, I suppose we put away aside any club rivalry, and we just worked as a team for the Simcox final anyway. We didn't listen to any outside noise or anything, we just went at it. We stick to the game plan, and the game plan worked, obviously. Unfortunately, it wasn't the same in the corner three. I suppose we just didn't show up on the day.
And that was disappointing.
Yeah, and Clonmel were a good side, to be fair, you know.
From your point of view, home Barton is football in a school the size of Clonakilty Community College, and home Barton hasn't been to you through your time there.
Yeah, it's been very, very important. All right, like all the way up there, we got unlucky in the under 17 and a half final against Hammies there 2 years ago. But like, it's great to win that now, because for the young lads coming up, if they see that, like, they can do that again, you know.
And do you see that with a lot of younger players? Like, there's a lot of fellas going to, families going to your match, especially in Super Valley Páirc Uí Chaoimh. It must have been a fantastic occasion that night. They want a bit of that action as well later on when they go through.
Yeah, like, there's plenty of potential in the school, you know. Fourth year, fifth year there. There's a load of players there that are well up to it. I reckon they'll go again hard next year. And Corner Vree, like, you know, and definitely Simcox, they'll have a crack off it. But yeah.
And Ollie, from your point of view, as we said there, you players from different, so many different clubs when they're on these panels, like, it's one thing to get them together and train, they're all playing football as well, but football not just in Cork but in West Cork schools now, it's starting to thrive again.
Yeah, and look, in fairness, we were talking about different clubs, but you know, the clubs are obviously doing serious work as well, and these players are coming into us in fantastic shape and very well conditioned, and a lot of them had very successful club seasons already, and that was part of the reason why we were able to hit the ground running and get a good win in the first round of the Simcox against Rochestown, which is a huge game, because Rochestown are sitting in the Corner Vree in the semi-final and doing very well and could go further, you know. So look, that was very big for us. It rolled from there, basically. That win was the start of our season, and it kind of gave us the idea that we could go places and that we had the talent to go places. But I suppose at the start of the season, we really did target the Simcox, because it was a competition that we had a very realistic chance of winning, you know, and it would have been major springboard then for the Corner Vree if we did manage to win it, and the school had never won it before. So look, as I said, these boys have left their mark on the history and culture of the school, and it's going to be huge going forward for the rest of the guys that are coming behind them, and they're being honoured tonight, and they deserve to be honoured.
And yeah, Dylan, that's the thing, you come to an event like this, there's so many different clubs and schools here tonight. Obviously it's black tie, so it's a bit of a big deal as well, but it's lovely too to see, you know, with your teammates and with the teachers and the coaches being recognised at such an event.
Yeah, it's nice to celebrate the win as well with the lads, like, and to be recognised around Cork of our success, and it's a nice occasion as well, you know. So
you're enjoying it, anyway.
Yeah, it's good crack, right? It's good crack.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, lads. Appreciate it.
All right, and last but certainly not least, we're going to hear from Ella Ryan and Ali Tobin of Skibbereen Community School.
Now, it's been a big night for Skibbereen Community School here at the Rebel Og Awards. I'm delighted to be joined by Ella Ryan and the captain, Ali Tobin, following a fantastic year. Ella, first of all, to you, what a fantastic night for the school. It's been a brilliant year, winning an All-Ireland Schools Football title, and a Rebel Og Award is the cherry on top.
It's absolutely excellent. I suppose it's great for the girls to even get back together and look back on what a great year it was.
I think it's now you only realise it, that we're in the moment. It's like such a build up and so busy that we don't even realise it's happening. But now it's just great to look back and to make a little piece of history for the school. It's excellent.
And to be rubbing shoulders with a lot of other schools and clubs from around the county that have had success as well at putting ladies football on the map in West Cork.
Yeah, no, it's excellent for West Cork, and I suppose all the young boys and girls that are here, like, and the underage, giving such a huge recognition to all the success is great for the development within the county. And I suppose it's just great to make sure that these girls are, I suppose, rewarded for all their hard work and that it's acknowledged here tonight.
You'd be the first to also tell me that the people behind the scenes that are, we haven't time to list them all out, but the people behind the scenes in this school, Skibbereen Community School, have been just as important as the players out on the pitch.
It's exceptional. Like, everyone from the whole school community got behind us, between the staff and the students and the people in the community. You've seen it that day in Nolan Park, there was such a huge support for us, and I suppose everyone was just so thrilled to get out across the line the day. And when Napalm scored that point, I suppose it was just surreal, really, for everyone.
Surreal it certainly was. Ali Tobin, what a year for you. Overall winner tonight, first of all, congratulations with Cork GFA Minors. But talk to me about being part of this, your hometown, your school, and winning an All-Ireland with those players that you've grown up with.
I suppose, yeah, it was unreal, like, to be here with both school and Cork, because you're at all your friends that you played with at home, and I suppose it's more of a tight-knit group. And then it was great to see all the girls again from Cork, and like, you truly miss it, you know, like, even this year, you know, things didn't go our way with the school, and like, with Cork, you know, like, that being all finished up, like, and it's just looking back now, it's brilliant to see, like, what we achieved was incredible, and I don't think we fully, like, comprehended it at the time, but now definitely. And then tonight then, to see all the great achievements in the room and see that we were among those people was brilliant.
Talk to me about the importance of Ella here next year and all the people behind the scenes, but also the people that guided you to this All-Ireland title.
Miss Ryan was brilliant, to be fair, the whole time. Like, she was out scoping us from classes and everything. We definitely missed her this year. Like, she was always there finding about information about teams and, like, making sure we were training, you know. She was on top of us the whole time, and, like, it was brilliant.
Her dedication and the teachers and the coaches' dedication rubbed off on you, because when they're putting that much time and effort in, you want to respond.
Definitely, because, like, it comes from the top. Like, when you see they have interest, you know, gives you interest and drive to, like, meet their standards then as well. So definitely I think we put in more work because they were all levelling out.
I'll give the final word to you, Ella, now that it's all over. Seems hard to say in January that it's all over. What a year, and what a celebration as well when you got back to Skibbereen.
It was actually excellent. I suppose everything was so well organised and so professionally done. You know, it's great to see, like, ladies football and the huge development that has and support that has come, I suppose, in the local area. And I suppose we're just so lucky to go back to Skibbereen. I think they're just so good at homecomings between the Roars and, winning the club championship and all that. You know, I suppose we're very grateful to Damien Long as well. He always gives, like, an exceptional, homecoming and support, and always has been. And I suppose the whole school community, as I said, and everyone from the community got behind it, just to acknowledge the girls for all their hard work. I suppose they had a good number of years training and a good number of losses before they got the victory, and the hard work paid off for everyone.
Well, congratulations to you, Ella, and to you, Ali, and fantastic for Skibbereen Community School. Well done on your words.
Right, we're over time here. Congratulations to all our winners from the Rebel Oak Awards last night. Dan Casey signing off from the Big Red Bench. Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.